Welcome to Share Truth and Apply Scripture. I am Jordan Chambly, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cesar Sarton.
All the time.
All the time.
Every day.
Yes. I'm glad I'm not doing this by myself.
I am too, and I'm glad that I'm not the one, I kind of look at you as the main host, even though we're co-hosts. I always let you start it off, but maybe one time ever I had to do it because you weren't there. And it was worse. It was the worst.
No, right? It was great. You did fantastic.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about
not to toot my own horn.
Yeah,
but
not to toot my own horn. But yeah, no, it was great. No, but it was terrifying, is what it was, because I wasn't ready. And it's I've heard you do the little spiel a million times to start it, and when I did, it was just come.
Should we start rotating? Should we start next episode? You introduce it so that you can get used to it too. I don't know.
Maybe we'll consider it.
We'll pray about it.
Yeah, that might be a good idea, because then in the future, because, I mean, you're not going to be here every day. You're going to die someday.
Well, that took a turn.
And I hope you die way in the future. Way in the future.
Jesus could come back. And then he doesn't even have to die.
Thank you, yes.
I hope it's at least 60 years before you die.
At least. I'm glad.
Because that'll put you in your 90s, right? 90.
Sure.
I'm going to do math.
Yes. 90s.
I know we're close to the same age, but don't ask me to remember your age exactly.
Goodness gracious. Yeah. Well, so. if you haven't turned off the radio at this point.
It got weird.
We are Share Truth Plus Scripture. We try to talk about subjects and questions that pertain to young Christians, but are applicable to everyone. So if you're not technically a young Christian, stay tuned, because we have a good conversation in store.
Yeah.
If you've been hearing a third voice in the room, that's our friend Hannah Metter.
Thank you for joining us again. I never know when to talk. When y'all start talking, I'm like, oh, but that's funny. I want to say something. And then I'm not here yet.
No. Go for it.
At this point, you're just one of us.
Yeah. This is fair.
Yeah, you've been on with us long enough that I think you're just one of us.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Of the team.
I appreciate it.
Definitely.
The dynamic duo. Yeah.
Well, Hannah, you wrote an article, and that's usually why we have you on, is because you write something really good, and they were like, hey,
well,
this would make a good conversation.
Yes, and it's been happy the last few times that I've been on, which
is not always sad topics.
Always a plus.
Yeah, and I would call this topic a happy one, too.
Yes.
For most people, I would say it's definitely, I think, hopefully a happy topic. We're talking about love. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about that kind of relationship. And what the Bible has to say about that. So, Hannah, why don't you give us a little bit of background? Why did you want to write this article? What inspired this article about having a good relationship?
This article was inspired by a dirty tea towel that was in my kitchen. Or actually, it was clean because we were folding it. And I don't know. So every year since I've gotten married, starting with the summer we got married, you guys have had me on. And we are about to be at our second anniversary in less than a month.
Nice.
And kind of what happened was, and I think you learn a lot about somebody in 2 years, especially in a marriage. You think you know everything going into it, and then things happen, and it's, oh, no, you don't know. Mm-mm. Not bad, but just still on a learning curve.
I can testify.
Yes.
7 years in, I can testify.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess anybody, I know more about Cedra than I did 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
So it could be applied in any sense.
It could be a good or a bad thing.
It's somewhere in between.
Right.
I'll take it.
kind of what happened was a couple years ago, when we were literally a couple years ago, that's weird to say, someone had given me a tea towel in our wedding showers and all of the lovely showers that I was given, but had to get up there and accept all of these wonderful gifts and use all of my strength to be nice. But anyway, so someone had given me a tea towel, and it was really simple. It has a cotton bundle, whatever the plant I don't even know. What is a cotton? Just a piece of cotton on the
just
front.
Yeah, a cotton bowl.
Like the bulbs.
Bowl.
You know what I'm talking about?
A cotton bowl. Yeah.
And around it, it's the words, love is patient, love is kind. Mm-hmm. And it references 1 Corinthians 13. Well, obviously, when I got these towels, and this is like one of the nicer tea towels for all of you women out there. You know who I'm talking about. They're not the
off limits. To
the
everybody.
Off limits.
It's
yes.
Like, you don't actually use it.
No, you just, they're pretty.
Just have it.
You
they're
hang
decorative.
It over your stove and you think, make people think you've
it's
got your life together.
Extra pillows.
Exactly. The throw pillows. Exactly. I'm so glad you understand. Well, pretty soon into our marriage, my husband just thought it was a regular tea towel. Mm-hmm. And of course, he cleaned the stove. He cleaned
just like
the
count,
just like a man. And
I mean,
I was
just
like,
it was an act of service.
It was. I was so gracious for it. He was so grateful for it. But anyway. And so anyway, a few weeks ago, I was folding towels and everything, and this tea towel, which was once, you know, white and pure and spotless, now is, I'm embarrassed by this tea towel. It has a hole burnt through it. There's stains all over it. I mean, it's been through the ringer. But in that moment, it kind of made me think, you know, like, this is marriage.
Yes.
You know, it, and ironically, it was a white towel. Mm-hmm. But when you're on your wedding day, everything is so hopeful and everything is so pure. And it's just, you're so excited to be with the one you're going to love for the rest of your life. But then life happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's a couple months, maybe it's a year or so. You're in the honeymoon phase, as they call it, or whatever. But then, like, stuff starts getting real. Mm-hmm. And not in a bad way necessarily, but just it's trying at times, and you get weary. And now my husband will tell you also that that is one of his favorite towels, because now I have written a blog about a tea towel.
There you go. It's famous.
The most, it's famous.
It's
he
framed,
is the
now.
Most.
He
yes.
don't use it anymore.
Now he won't too, use it. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you want to see a picture of this towel,
yes. If you want to see my grubby towel,
go to afa.net/thestand. And you can find this article. It's titled "The Crazy Thing About Love," and there's a picture of the towel there.
There is a picture of the towel. Yes, yes.
Nice. Well, I love that story so much because it's so relatable. I mean, that's what, like you said, that is what marriage is. Mm-hmm. Marriage is, you do have expectations, and then fairly quickly, usually, you realize how naive those expectations were, and that's not a bad thing, I think.
Right.
Yeah, because there's two ways that you can see it. Like, there are opportunities for you to grow together as a couple when you come to those sort of times where one of you disappoints the other, or, you know, that you're learning things about each other that you didn't know before, and maybe to one person it wasn't that big of a deal, but to the other person it's like, whoa, this is life changing.
Exactly. Yes.
And that happens. Goodness gracious. But what I've found. Is that those are opportunities to really grow close together and to learn that, hey, you thought you loved this person before. Now you have a chance to love them even more.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about that because really the subject of the article is that kind of Christ-like love that the Bible talks about, particularly between two people who are married, but also it applies to
anywhere.
Everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
And I like getting this conversation from you. Now, I think when most people want to discuss marriage, they want to pull out the marriage veteran, which is always good.
Yeah.
You get great advice from the marriage veteran who's been married for a long, long time, like 15 plus years at least. But you guys are still in the very early learning phase. And so I like to have you here because it's like, it's real fresh. It's real fresh.
It is. And like, you know, the way I kind of look at it is marriage is great and it is a gift from the Lord, but it's still the union of two sinners. Mm-hmm. You know, like we are not perfect people. I am far from perfect. And so is he. But like, it's constantly growing together through struggles, but also in Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you say something about us being like the newbies or whatever. And these early days and stages of marriage too, I think, you know, you always hear people celebrating their 25th anniversary or the 50th, and those are accomplishments, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I am learning more and more, like year 5, year 10, like those early like milestones, those are huge.
Yeah.
Like, I know several people who got married around the same time I have, and unfortunately, they're no longer even together. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just those first years are tough.
Yeah. What did I tell you? Like when all the crazy, stressful mm-hmm. stuff was happening on your wedding day, I looked at you and I said, at the end of the day, you're going to be married mm-hmm. and you're going to have him forever. And in 5 years down the road, you're going to look over at him in the bed and you're going to go, why do you breathe so loud?
She showed it. She was getting my makeup done for the day, and that is what she looked at me and said.
But she
might be right.
I might be right.
It's just true.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, but then sometimes you got to look at it and go, you know what? I love him. I hate the breathing, but I'm just glad he's breathing.
He is beside me. Amen.
I'm just glad he's here. He's breathing, even though the sound of it is atrocious. Yeah. I still love him.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, that brings up a good kind of way to take the conversation is there's worldly love that, mm-hmm. you know, two people who are outside of, you know, Christ, when they get married, they have this kind of expectation of love, this secular sort of expectation of what love is. And then we have what we're taught in the Bible, like this Christ-like love. Hannah, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what you see as the differences between those two things?
Yeah. So first of all, in the article too, I make a couple of just parallels. When I think worldly love, I think I think of entitlement. I think of a selfish, you've done something, so you expect something back.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, sometimes I go in and I'm like, oh, the dishes aren't done. Oh my gosh, did you really not do? Like, for instance, and I'm going to give this as an example, because this past weekend we worked the Marriage Family Life Conference. It was an awesome time together, but I came home and my house was messier than when I went, and I did not have supper cooked for me, and my feelings were a little bit hurt. but you know, all those things aside, you know, and especially in those times, you know, it's like love is patient, love is kind. So what? The dishes aren't done. It's not the end of the world. I will swing through Wendy's and get something and go be on my happy way. But like just having love that is patient, but also that's not boastful or that dishonors the other person.
Yeah.
Because I think in our culture, it's a lot about like, oh, well, you made a mistake. Well, now I'm going to hold this against you for the rest of your life. Like, and I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. Now, and I will say I am a bitter person, unfortunately. That's something that me and Jesus have a lot of talks about.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, like, love is going to conquer all. Godly, biblical love is going to choose grace and patience and love.
I love that so much.
Yeah, and if you can't love your spouse the way God intended for you to, how are you going to love other people?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to go off and love other people? How are you going to love Christ if you don't love the way he commanded you to?
And I love that you brought that up. We're throwing that love words,
especially nowadays,
around
yeah.
here. But I love that you brought that up because when we think about Christ-like love, and when I think about the way that Christ loved, I think sometimes, you know, in our good intentions of trying to interpret what that means, we can say, oh, Christ, it was just so focused on the sinner. It was so focused on me, at the recipient of that love. But really, Christ's love for the sinner was caught up in his love for God.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It was part of his love for God. And so in a marriage or even in just a relationship with other people as a Christian, that's the way your love needs to go. It's not that the person who's receiving your love is the focal point.
Mm-hmm.
You're loving them as a way of loving God. You're loving mm-hmm. them because they are creatures of God. You're loving them because God put them in your life. You're loving them because God is working through them mm-hmm. as a means of grace in your life. So seeing it as, you know, loving them is a way to love God is much better because they will disappoint you.
Yeah.
Of course.
They're going to fail.
Exactly.
They will.
Oh, and it makes me go to a scripture. This goes to tell you that if you have these little scripture songs or whatever with your kids, go ahead and go do it.
Yes.
Because they will remember it for always. And I remember singing the 1 John 4:7-8 growing up, and it's still, it's ingrained, it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Mm.
So wow. He that loveth not knoweth not God.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is that? I mean, and that's God saying, like, if you can't love the rest of my creation, you don't know me.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, and really, to have that Christ-like love that we're talking about, I think the foundation of that is a healthy relationship with the Lord.
Absolutely.
I mean, it really is.
It all goes back to it. I mean, you know, and I think, too, in a marriage, you know, like the Bible says, like, wives are to submit to your husband. Mm-hmm. And everybody, when you say that word, they freak out. Hmm. And I'm just like, that's, you know, but I mean, like, but the husband's call is to love their wife as Christ loved the church, right? And so, like, to me, I think,
which is to be
willing, I don't want that role. Yeah. I don't want that role.
That is to be willing to lay down your life
absolutely.
For them.
Yeah.
And that's what you're called to do. There's, like, two sides of it. And you hear it preached. And you hear them preached separately a lot.
Yeah.
I really think we should preach them together a lot more. Probably help some of the confusion and all the uproar. But because they do go together.
They do,
it's
two
halves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've always thought it was interesting, too. I mean, this is sort of a side topic right here. But how that parallels very well with the curse in Genesis, where God tells Eve that, look, a woman will seek to supplant the man and the man will lord it over her. And I think, too, in that, we sometimes one is preached as part of the curse and the other one is preached as like, oh, this is the good thing. Like, men lording it over women, that's the good part. But actually, both of those things were part of the curse.
Yep.
And both of those things are bad. But this model of love that Paul was writing about is sort of an answer to that. It's sort of like, look, instead of seeking to supplant your husband, submit to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And husbands, instead of lording it over your wives, love your wives as Christ loved the church, which is not a tyrannical dictatorship.
No.
This is a servant. This is someone who's washing the feet. This is someone who's dying.
Yes.
So, you know, and there's a co-ruler aspect too. So
not only do you want to love your spouse, but you want to be someone worthy of their love.
Yeah.
And it's a respect thing, I think. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we talked about this maybe last year. I don't know. But I have learned in the 2 years we've been married, like, he cannot read my mind. I would love for him to read my mind, but he cannot read my mind. And, you know, like, I want the trash taken out, but I won't tell him that I want the I just want him to magically, like, go do it. Sometimes it's not going to happen.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So,
you know what I'm saying?
For people who are listening, for people who are listening who want to get married, and this is important. This is so important.
Or you are married.
Please talk to your significant other about this, because here's the thing. Men and women are just different.
They are.
I think we all know that. We all should know this. But women will notice things and men will not notice things. I will not notice, unless for some reason it starts to bother me, I will not notice that the trash needs to be taken out. I will not notice. Like, if my wife asks me, hey, can you wipe off the countertops?
Yeah.
I will not read into the subcontext of, and also do the dishes and clean up the rest of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do that. I will focus on the task that was handed to me and maybe anything else that I actually happen to notice.
Yep.
But if...
yep.
Women, please be explicit in what you want. And
use your words. That's what my husband
dwell with
use
understanding.
Your words. I'm like, I'm a writer. Yeah. I use my words every day. I shouldn't have to when I come home.
You want
to
take a break.
take a break.
But no, this is important because I think particularly for young people... We're not young people who want to get married and who are about to get married. This is a serious conversation to have. We laugh about it, and it is funny, you know, after the fact, after the argument, I guess.
Yeah.
but it is a serious thing to learn how to communicate, because I think that is part of loving one another, you know, with that Christ-like love, is to understand that, look, we're going to make mistakes and we're going to not meet each other's expectations, and just go ahead and have that surplus of grace ready to get, because you're going to need it. Mm-hmm. You're really going to need
it. You are every single day.
And don't take the Hollywood rom-com version of love. Like, this idea that there is this one singular perfect person out there for you. And if you don't meet them, then you've missed your chance.
Yeah.
You know, and then one day you're gonna just run into somebody. It's like magic, and I don't know. I mean, like, just this idea. No doubt God will give you if you pray and you stay in your word. You know, and you ask Him to bring that person to you.
Yeah,
He'll pair you with somebody that He intends for you.
Yeah,
but the Hollywood version. Ain't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Or the Hallmark version where she goes home for Christmas and is engaged and then ends up with another dude. I've never understood.
The city girl that goes to back to the small town.
Yes, and yeah. She's like, oh, actually, this is my junior high boyfriend. I've decided to marry him instead.
And this all happens within the span of a week.
Yeah, Christmas vacation.
I hate the trope of falling in love with somebody else while you're with somebody.
Exactly. I just,
You know what make that stop? Stop hanging out with somebody else.
When
you're with somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, that was kind of off topic.
I do think that Hollywood has seriously twisted true, love and romance. And not just Hollywood. I feel like Hollywood just amplifies what the culture already, has.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we can sort of fall in love with that vision of love sometimes, especially as young people. I'm thinking teenagers. Like, that's just like, oh, goodness.
Yes.
What more could you ask for, really?
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, your spouse or your future spouse or whatever, they're not going to answer, everything for you. They're not going to be the key to happiness. I finally arrived. I have my wife or I have my husband, and this is it. This is heaven. This is not what it is. Mm-mm. Because God is that. Christ is that. And that's why you need to love him first and foremost. And then the way you view your spouse is this is a gift from God. God is allowing you to have the happiness that you do receive from God through them, and be grateful for that. But don't elevate them you don't put them on the throne of God in your life, which is what Hollywood teaches us is like, look, this person is going to make you happy.
And also, just gonna throw this out there.
Sometimes they will.
When you're born, you're not given some deadline you have to meet. I just want to go ahead and say that as the single 32-year-old over here, and I'm not old, but in the eyes of some people, when it comes to being single, they're like the clock's a ticking. And on the other side of that, we're going into this modern age of the single, independent woman. It's okay to be single, like, and on your own.
Yeah,
but I don't want you to turn your nose up at the idea of marriage either.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like.
Yeah. And see, I can't relate. I don't need a man or whatever. I can't. I very much need my man.
Yeah.
I am not Miss Independent. I will stay home and cook and clean, whatever. No, I mean, I love my job, but you know what I'm saying? I can't relate to that. But if that's you, more power to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do think
that. And people are different, yeah.
Yeah. When Paul talks to is writing to young people in the church, he says, look, if any of you can, please be single.
Yeah.
And I think that is, I feel like people.
I'm living up to it.
Yeah. People in our culture, in our culture, particularly here in the Mid-South, Mid-South evangelical culture, there's sort of an allergic reaction to that sometimes where it's like, no, marriage is the best thing. You should be seeking that. And like, oh my gosh, are you married yet? Do you have a boyfriend, girlfriend yet?
I think that whole...
At age 15?
Yeah.
I think that culture is so dangerous because not because I'm anti-marriage, I'm not. Yeah. Uh-huh. People think when they meet me and I say I'm single and I'm fine with it, that means I'm anti-marriage. That's not it. But you keep pushing this, then you have people getting married just to get married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it starts when they're small children. And I'm talking about, Jordan, you've got very small children.
Yes.
And do you ever have people go, oh, all the girls are going to be, they're going to have to beat the girls off with a stick when they look at, I'm like, oh yeah, he's a cutie little boy. He's a child.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like, do they have, they start school. Does he have a little girlfriend in school? What?
He ain't allowed.
Hard no.
He's literally 5.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. I mean, like, so it starts very early, this idea of pairing people up instead of teaching your kids the proper way to love people. Yeah. It's like they need to be paired up. They need to be paired up.
Right.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
And we talk a lot about, the dangers of, the casual dating scene and just doing things for fun. But you see the same people doing exactly what you're saying. It's just sort of like, oh, this is almost like comedic relief,
Yeah.
When there's a child who is in a real romantic relationship. And it's just like, well, hang on. Like, how is this not the same thing?
Exactly.
And how is this? How are you not laying the foundation for wrong expectations for marriage?
And you're talking about 5-year-olds, but I mean, there's onesies and jumpers that say like heartthrob or whatever else. I mean, like, this is
weird,
really weird.
Yeah, It can get into some strange territory very quickly.
Yeah. But I think even when you're looking at, like, and I'm not, this is not me passing judgment on people who are raising kids who are older, who are like teenagers and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, they allow their teens to have a girlfriend or boyfriend.
There's an appropriate age.
I think so. And I also think that there's an, you know, like as a parent, that's between you and them and God. And that if you're monitoring that situation, that's on you. But even teenagers, and I'm saying because I was one, we dumb.
Speaking as a former teenager.
I'm dumb. What are you talking about as a teenager?
Speaking as a former teenager, yeah, I know. And it's like, even for older, you know, you got to be careful. So it's, you know, you got to teach them how to love before you start.
Yes.
And what love actually is before you start pairing them off.
And I will say, too, something that, talking about 1 Corinthians 13, I don't know who, it was some at some youth conference, but the pastor was like, you know, like, change the word love to your name. So, like, say, Hannah is patient, Hannah is kind. Is Hannah patient? Is Hannah kind? You know, like, to start revealing to yourself, like, the areas that you need to work on. And in the same regard, I think they said, like, if you were had a significant other or whatever, like for instance, if my husband's name is Dalton kind? Is Dalton whatever? Kind of when you're looking for a significant other to make sure you both are on the right track Lord. You
and know again, what I'm saying? That's part of love, though, is whenever is to love them in spite of their faults.
Absolutely.
But also, if they're, I mean, if you're a Christian, then your significant other should also be Christian. We know that.
Yeah.
And you should be able to call them out. Like, and I think that's a thing for in private. I mean, that's between y'all.
Yeah. And be open to rebuke as well.
And yes. And be willing to have those conversations. That's part of love. Part of love is not everything is perfect and they're perfect. No, it's like recognizing their faults and being able to discuss it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we could probably go on for another, you know, hour.
I feel like we could.
About
I know.
This.
Hey, my anniversary's still for a month, so.
Hey, you know what? We'll probably do a follow up for this because this is such a good conversation. We only have about, like, you know, 30 seconds left. So I want to say that this article is up on The Stand. That's afa.net/The Stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most as of this recording, it's the most recent article by Hannah. Guarantee it's a good article to read. Share it with people, and hope you're encouraged by it. Thank you so much, Hannah, for being on.
Thanks for having
me. It's always a good conversation.
I always enjoy it.
Yeah, and again, guys, go to afa.net/The Stand to read this article. And until next week, guys, continue to share truth and apply scripture. Thank you.